What's going on, everybody? This be your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 95. And I got a special guest on the show today. Finally, the best engineer, not only in Miami, but in my opinion, Florida. Because you know everybody, dog. My boy D Shun, man. Thank you for coming on the show, dog.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
How you been doing?
Great.
See you grinding and stuff like that. But before we get into the questions and everything, like, tell us, well, introduce yourself to the people that may not know about you.
For the people who don't know me, I'm a producer, engineer. Been having my own business, my own studio for 8 years. I work with a little bit of everybody. You know, I mainly work from Miami, and I got a lot of work in Atlanta, Georgia. So mainly just making music, engineering, and doing my thing.
That's what's up, man. So tell us about the beginnings. Like, what made you want to get into music and stuff like that?
I first started in middle school. I was in the band. Mm-hmm. I started playing the trumpet, and that's where I got, like, my whole music background. And then I went to Robert Morgan High School, and one of my friends introduced me to a program called Fruity Loops. Mm-hmm. At the time, it was called Fruity Loops, and I just fell in love with it. So my senior year, I took sound engineering as an elective, mm-hmm. and at that moment, I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And then from there, I went to Full Sail, right. And I took recording arts as a major. And yeah, that was it. That was the beginning.
So who was your first artist that you ever worked with?
My first artist that I ever worked with. I remember when I was in school, shout out to the Dunk Riders. They hit me up. They was like, oh, that boy. I wasn't even going by D-Shim at the time. I think I was going by Trackmaster at the time. And they was like, oh, boy, you about to get out of school. And he brought me to Dunk Rider Studio. I got to meet Trick. And I think it was actually Casino who actually brought me into to Dunk Rider. So that was like one of the first people I worked with, like upon graduating school and when I started taking music seriously.
Was it like nerve-wracking, like working with a legend like Trick Daddy?
Yeah. I was like, oh, snap, that's Trick Daddy right there. He just walked in the door. I tried to be cool, you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, snap. I grew up listening. I still listen to him, and I'm like in the studio with him. And it was like right around here. It was somewhere in Kendall, but I don't remember exactly where it was at.
Right. So you had like any, like, you know, getting to the music and stuff. Like, you had any, like, producers that you looked up to? Like, the Dre's, the Swizz Beatz, et cetera?
Manny Fresh. That was, like, one of my main influences. Like, Manny Fresh with that 808. Yeah. What was that song? Row 15, then See No Eye. Oh, I heard Boom for there.
Still Fly.
Yeah. Hearing something like that and hearing the 808, you know, like, Zaytoven, Shardy Red. Like, that's what inspired my sound. Like, all them 808s, heavy Southern music.
Yeah. So you was more influenced, like, you know, a lot of people don't consider, I don't know why Miami not Southern no more, I guess because of the new sound, but, you know, you one of the few, you know, producers that's still influenced by the Southern music world.
The Southern music,
the old school Miami, you know, way, and just trying to bring it to the new wave, you know what I'm saying? So that's what's up, dog. And then, like, name, like, a list of people that you worked with so far.
Oh, that's going to be a long list, man. How long this show is? You're going to be sitting here. I could go like some of the bigger names, you know, for the people who might not know some of the inner city Miami artists. Like, I got a chance to work with DJ Khaled and the first lady, We The Best. Her name is Steph LaCour. Mm-hmm. She's actually on Love & Hip Hop Miami right now. Who else I got a chance to work with? YFN Lucci. And I was working with YFN Lucci before he was hot.
Before he blew up
when Rich Homie Quan was the man at the time. And actually, a funny story about that, I was trying to work with Rich Homie Quan so bad. Mm. And they was like, oh, Rich Homie Quan out of town, but we got the next artist coming up. His name, YFN Lucci. I'm like, YFN Lucci. No, I want Rich Homie Quan, man. And that goes to show you can't really sleep off people, you know what I'm saying? You never know. Like, you can't take nobody for granted. You never know who next to blow. So I also worked with YFN Lucci, Bankroll Fresh. I got a chance to work with him like 3-4 times before he passed away, you know what I'm saying? Some of the bigger Miami names, let's see. You know, I played a big role in Mike Smith's career. Just got signed to Slip and Slide. Been there from day one. Let's see. Young Scooter from Atlanta, Georgia. I've been in the studio with Flo Rida. Been in the studio with Gorilla Zoe. Billy Blue. Iceberg. Ball Greasy. From down south to all, like, too many names.
How is it, like, working with different individuals, different personalities? How is it?
I mean, everybody's different. Everybody's different. I noticed the people like in the industry, they act a little, they have like unlimited studio time, so their sessions are a little different, you know, right. What I'm saying? The activities, the workflow is a little different too, as far as them being able to create on spot. They have so many producers sending them beats on the time, opposed to me working with the local community, and they have like a certain amount of time and they gotta early be prepared. So that all I say is the difference, like having more resources and more time to work on their music.
Mm-hmm. And it's never like a pressure, like, you know, they let you do what you do, or it's
like sometimes like I gotta know my place too at the same time, like I'm not saying stay in my place, but like know my lane, because right. I would try to give my opinion, but they already got their establishment going and I'm just here to help and assist until I start building my name. And it's not until recently, like now, they're starting to listen to me and my guidance and my direction, no matter big or small.
That's what's up, though. And then let's move into entrepreneurship real quick. You know, talk about Vibes Out Studios. You also got your own Shimra. Like, what was the point, the importance of, you know, having your own studio, having your own business at the time, especially when you was working on music?
Because I did an internship at a studio called Audio Vision. And I did this internship for about 4 months. But the thing about it was, I wasn't getting paid for it. So I was like, man, I need to take a different route. So I opened up a studio in the back of my parents' house, and I just ran with my name. My name is D. Shim, so I just ran with the name D. Shim Productions. Did that for like 3 months. And from there, I was like, man, I wanted to expand. So I was like, I'm going to get my own building. And I still ran with D. Shim Productions for 2 years. And then I got another building. And then I was like, you know what? I want to expand even more. I don't want the studio to be known for me. I want to make a new name, something catchy. And then one of my homeboys, he go to FIU, he was like, most successful companies got two syllables in his name. And I ain't really think about it. Like, you want to go to a grocery store, you want to go probably like the Walmart, or you want to buy some new shoes, like Nikes or some Reeboks. And prior to me changing the studio name, I was doing artist showcases last year.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I was trying to come out there and stuff, but everything always trying to come up.
I was doing events called In the Vibe.
You still doing though? You...
I did 3 years, but it's very stressful, man. Yeah. Throwing events, picking the right artists, having the right show times, booking the venue, and having everything. Like, it's stressful, but I actually did accomplish a lot last year. So with that name, In the Vibe, I made the name Vibe Out for my studio name, and that's what I've been running with. And that was about, I think, last year. That was last year.
And how was like the reaction with, you know, with the artists and stuff, you know, seeing that you know, involving things like that? Because you worked with a lot of people, but now it's like, but at the same time, it's like, when I see you, it's like, you always cater to the local artists. So how do they respond to you, like, working with them and things of that nature? Because, you know, everybody see you as, like, this big mogul person already, you know, coming from Dade County.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I know a lot of people.
That's why I think a lot of people, they value my opinion, and they respect me because they see I got one foot in the industry. I could be working with YF and Lucci. I could be in the studio with DJ Khaled. I could be in the studio with 808 Mafia, TM88. And then I could come back to the local community. So I think a lot of artists, they value my word and my opinion, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because shout out to Knucklehead for, you know, having this, you know, doing this interview and stuff like that, helping with the interview.
Yeah.
But, like, I even had, you know, we even talked about it, like, you know, because on my show, like, I actually interviewed people in the industry as well. And, like, they just like us, you know, having conversations, you know, eat the same places and everything. But it's some artists, you know, that come up and they think that, you know, they're already there versus someone who's already been there, but they don't have that same, like, flashy, you know, they humble. You know, why you think it's some artists, especially down here, that's like kind of big headed?
I don't know. I guess a lot of artists, or I ain't gonna say a lot of artists, but
it's not a lot.
I'll say some artists get caught up with the idea of like faking it till you make it.
Right.
But the whole thing with that concept is like, you're only faking the people who's not in the industry and who's not doing it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The people who's really in the industry and you're really doing it, they know. And it's like really machines out here and really labels out here studying these numbers and knowing who's doing it. So I feel like that's like a waste of time, faking it till you make it. It's like, it's wasting energy. You're wasting time trying to put up with this look, trying to make this look, instead of just working your craft and really getting to where you need to go to. Going and getting to where you need to get to. You feel
me? Right, yeah, that's what's up, man. So let's go to the list.
Okay, I know this is
the
bread and butter everybody
want to
hear.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I forgot the name of the podcast, but they came out with the top 50, which to me was disappointing because they ain't even have Ludacris on there.
Oh, yeah. That's how it really started, yeah. You know, when they had Joe Budden number 3, you know what I'm saying?
Like, it's just crazy. But then with Big Chuck had got, like, a list from somewhere else, and they only had, like, 2 down south artists. So you made your own list. Mm-hmm. Every, like, your top 50 artists from down south.
See, it wasn't my top 50, but you keep going. That's what people think. man.
So what was the motivation about it, you know, because a lot of, you know, artists from down here always get overlooked. So what was that?
Yeah, that was the main thing. I seen, like, Big Chuck make a list, top 50 Miami artists. I don't know if Big Chuck made it, but mm-hmm. I seen him post a list of 50 Miami artists. And I noticed it was only 2 artists mm-hmm. from down south on that list. So mm-hmm. I said, out of all these 50 people, only 2 people from down south. So I was like, man, there's something wrong, man. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to shed some light. And I'm like, bring to the attention that it's some more artists down here that mm-hmm. got, if not the same amount of views, there's some with more views than some of those guys on that Miami list.
Yeah, because there's even some that's from, like, the Kendall area. Like, we like to call them the backpack rappers.
Yeah.
And it's like, people don't realize, like, Kendall's, like, how it is. Like, it's big. It's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of Hispanics and stuff. But it's also a lot of Black. And, you know, it's a mixture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I ain't gonna lie. Like, I miss, like, I'll talk about some of the few ones that I miss right now. We're gonna get into, like, you know, how I came up with the list and everything. But I know some artists from Kendall, like, I know for sure I missed the artist named Icy Narco. Mm-hmm. Icy Narco is an artist from, I believe, from Kendall, and he was nominated for XXL Freshman.
Right.
But I just wasn't too sure on what neighborhood he claimed to rep, because I never really heard him in the interview. But I know if he's from down this way. Mm-hmm. Nominated for XXL Freshman, and he got, like, millions and millions and millions of views. There's another artist named Old Trap Star. Mm-hmm. Cause I think he jumped in my comments when I had posted that list too, and he got, like, millions and millions of views, and they all from Kendall.
Yeah, cause.
And I know for sure another one too I missed out too was Puya. Puya's from Kendall, and he's dumb lit, like, yeah. crazy.
I heard some of his music, and, like, I remember one of his projects he had, like, it was like a Cadillac, and it was like, you see the behind. I'm like, yeah, this man from the crib. I think he from down south. You know, down south is more. You got more of the land and stuff down here. So it's just like, there's so many artists from down here that people don't realize it, you know.
So many artists. And I just realized by me working with all these artists on a daily basis, mm-hmm. and a lot of them don't have no outlet or resources even to get to another part of Miami, mm-hmm. opposed to the whole world and stuff like that. So I just wanted to shed some light. And that's how I got up that list. Mm-hmm. Now this list, it wasn't really based on, oh, who I think is going to blow and who's talented. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the whole misconception came from, that list. The day before, I posted a list of 50 blanks, and I want all you guys to tag me some artists that you think is top in Miami. Right. So those guys kind of got priority on my list. I was like, damn, I'm seeing guys with tags, artists I never even heard of.
Right.
So I say, let me check out these artists, did my research on them. So I say, how can I make a list not having an opinion mm-hmm. and not anything subjective. So I was going to first do it by Instagram followers. Mm-hmm. But I think that's, like, the number one thing artists usually do is they fake the Instagram followers.
Yeah, they do.
So I didn't want to go off of that. So I said, even though I found out now you could fake anything online, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Any kind of streams, even album sales.
Yeah.
So I said, let me just get one piece of information, which was total YouTube channel count. How you do that is you go on an artist page, and you go, you click on the about section. Mm-hmm. And then I just took the total amount of views of an artist and I put it in an Excel chart. I put the artist name and then the total view count.
How long did it take you to do that?
It took me so long. That's how I was like, damn, the negative attention I was getting. Like, well, I really took time on this list. You feel me? Like, yeah. I really did it, like, coming from a label perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's why I get so many people against the labels and against so much of the bigger platform. Because mm-hmm. they go more or less off of data. Mm-hmm. They go off of metrics. And that's how labels are signing people now. Mm-hmm. They're going off of how much engagement this is going. Not if this guy looks good or he got a good image or this dude got good music, good bars and stuff like that. They're going off of strictly numbers because it's a risk. If I'm going to put up money, I got to know for sure I'm going to get this money back.
Right.
So I made a list from a label perspective and kind of an insight of how labels will see artists down south. And that might be a little issue. Some of the guys I've noticed doesn't have that many views, and that's why maybe none of the labels really even came down here.
Mm-hmm.
So by me making the list, even to shed some awareness, like, damn, maybe we do need to get our numbers up.
Mm-hmm.
And for the ones that do have their numbers up, I wanted to show that list to all the people that follow me and people who could potentially see it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
But don't you think that it also goes back to, like, entrepreneurship, that, you know, we have to be even more aggressive when it comes to that, when it comes to, like, creating our own independent labels and...
Hold on, I think we got a guest. Hold on, a very respected engineer. I don't even know if you had a guest on this show.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. This might be something different, man. Hold on. I'm trying to get my boy on here right quick. Okay, we got a special guest on the show. I'm with DJ Anonymous.
What's
right
up,
now.
Bro?
This DJ Illusion. It's a very...
It's been a minute, bro.
Oh, you know him?
Yeah, okay, bro. I'm trying to get him on the show for a minute.
Hey.
Sam, I just wanted to comment on one thing you just said real quick, though. Yeah. Just because I saw you stirred up the whole city with this list, man.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
But I wanted to say something just on the whole metric thing that you were talking about, because, you know, these labels are pretty educated, man. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have tools nowadays to really sort through all that fake stuff or all the numbers that are boosted, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have the tools, and they've had the tools for many years to be able to tell, you know, whether these impressions, whether it be YouTube views, whether it be YouTube subscribers, right, whether it be Instagram followers, whether it be, you know, streams, they have the tools readily available to really tell what's true and what's not. So when these guys are stepping in there with these false numbers, trust me, one of the first things they're doing is auditing their social media. You know what I mean? And auditing all these things, because if you're just like brands, when I used to work in product placement, anytime we would try to sell a new artist or a new public figure, and they want to see their social media, they would have these same tools, because if they're going to spend money and they're going to put all these other things down into the, you know, put money into these people to promote their products, they want to make sure that the impressions that they're getting are true, are real.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's hard, I guess. It's really hard to base things off the social metrics. What I think is good, and looking at Instagram getting ready to get rid of all these likes and stuff, I can tell you one of the main things that's going to determine whether or not any public figure or artist is doing well is if they get true interaction.
Right.
Like, real interaction, meaning that real people are commenting, making real comments, or really interacting on their
site.
I think that we should be gauging artists based on their interaction. Can you get ticket sales? That's interaction. Can you sell merchandise? That's interaction. Can you get comments on your page? You know, I see these guys with 20,000 followers, they barely get 200 likes, and they get maybe 5 comments. I mean, my brother, I got barely 4,000 followers, and on everything we post, and everything you post, and you're an engineer, everything you post, you're getting 20, 30, 40, 50 comments, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's interaction, because you have real, real fans out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I think the game is different now.
Yeah,
and that's why when I made the list, I didn't want to just make it off of, like, damn, talent or, like, subjective things. So I know the numbers may have been skewed and a lot of numbers been fake. So I like, let me just get some kind of piece of thing that I could base it off of, which was the streams. And I noticed even a lot of artists that I wanted to put on the list, I was like, damn, they don't even have 1,000 subscribers, or they only have maybe 800 views, 700 views. And the crazy thing about getting YouTube, if you want to make this into a business, you have to have, I noticed you have to have like 1,000 subscribers and like 4,000 hours of watch time. So that me kind of want to educate, you know, kind of people too, like, and maybe motivate people to, you know, I'm saying, get their numbers up, you know what I'm saying, whatever they got to do.
Right, and Loser had a great point, because I'm glad that they getting rid of all that, how many followers and likes that you have, because it's like it's like fair game now, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a fair playing field. So like, John Doe, he may only have probably like 200, 300 followers, but his quality of his Instagram gonna bring that attention more. But they're not gonna look at the numbers like that no more, you know. So
I'm gonna be honest. One of the things that I don't like about lists in general, is the fact that be quiet. The one thing I don't like about lists in general is the genres have diversified so much.
Right.
It's hard to say. Like you said, it's all subjective when it comes to the music.
Subjective, yeah.
What a 15 to 19-year-old is listening to versus what we enjoy is two completely different things. You know what I mean? So it's really difficult. There's a lot of new artists in South Florida that I've yet to hear about, but are already buzzing pretty well. Like, I mean, I talk to some of these younger artists that come in, people I've never even heard of, like, and these guys are super, super popular.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. You know, and I try my best to stay in the know. It's just really, really difficult, I think,
to categorize artists.
Yeah.
I understand why you got the backlash and stuff. You feel me? But it just sucks. You were trying to do something at least to highlight people that haven't been.
And you know what I'm saying? You seen the list on Big Chuck's show? He made a list of 50 artists from Miami. I know it's only two of them from the section of Miami I'm from, which is called Down South. And that's why I like, let me just put 50 new names, put them in the forefront. Since I got a lot of people following me, let me just help 50 new names, put them to the forefront. You know what I'm saying? Which it did. A lot of people started collabing with each other. A lot of DJs hit me up. A lot of artists started connecting with different artists. DJs started looking up these new artists. So I feel like a lot of good did come from the list too.
Yeah, man, I feel that. I do feel that, man. I just wanted to chime in because I was watching. Yo, we got to jump on here and talk about some engineer shit one of these days.
Well, let's do it. Let's do it, man.
All right?
Let's do it, man. Appreciate you, man.
I got to get to work. One of my clients just walked in. My dog, Monty, just walked in. So,
all right.
Trying to do what we do, you know?
All right, let's do it, man. All right.
Man, thank you for plugging me in.
All right, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's what it's about, dog. Like, I'm just trying to bring in people on the show and just, you know, give them they take on, you know, especially when it comes to the music and stuff. Because for years, like, specifically down here, like, you know, going to the next, you know, question is, like, why are down south artists so overlooked? And I always felt like, you know, in my opinion, is that, you know, a lot of people from the north side or from Broward or Palm Beach don't really get in tune because it's a whole different flavor down here, you feel me? Like, it's a whole different, like, the culture is different.
Yeah, the culture is different, and I think, too, also, we don't have as much resources, too, I would say, as far as, like, in North Miami, the beach and the Wynwood area, we only limited to, like, one or two strip clubs. We have a strip club called, like, Playpen.
Yeah.
I don't know what they call it now. They got one in the Homestead, and they got, like, the Office Falls. I don't even know if it's open right now, opposed to all the strip clubs they have in North Miami. They got, like, they used to have King of Diamonds. You got Office, Take One.
Mm-hmm.
You got so many clubs and more resources and opportunity. They have Miami Live on South Beach for artists to perform, and I feel like we don't have that much, and maybe some artists not getting out of their comfort zone and taking these trips and traveling. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. That's how I got my face a little bit up in North Miami, is just by traveling and getting out of your comfort zone, you know what I'm saying, which is wanting more.
But I think we, like, you know, like I said, like, I feel like we need to, like, you know, create more events, you know, because honestly, them people over the bridge don't really care about us. You know, they call us the mainlanders and stuff like that. I feel like from, like, the whole county in general, okay, you from the north, south, east, west, we need to build and create more events like you did last year.
Yeah, I did. I did three successful events, man. So many people was thanking me. And the purpose of my event wasn't even for performances. It was just for artists to come together, network, and you know what I'm saying, connect with people, with like-minded people, you know what I'm saying? Like, whether it be producers, managers, and people to this day still thank me for that, and they still ask for more. So I probably do need to bring that back and start bringing some connections with all the different crowds in Miami and start, you know, building and bringing more attention down here to Miami.
Yeah, real quick, because I was talking this with Knucklehead. You know, it's been a while, for about a few years now. We've been trying to, like, a lot of art, well, I ain't going to say a lot of artists, but most artists from downhill was following the Atlanta trend, right?
Yeah.
And they was trying to follow the blueprint, you know, not even just in music, but, like, entrepreneurs and everything, et cetera, try to move up to Atlanta. And, like, a couple people on my Facebook was like, you know, why are we trying to be like Atlanta, where, you know, we could pretty much build down here, because everybody really want to come down here.
They do.
You know, so, and like, why do you think it came to that point where you trying to follow another city?
I mean, because if the results there, the amount of artists they're producing, the amount of studios they have in Atlanta, the amount of labels they have, the producers, the amount of engineers, podcasts, events, they got open mics. So every time I go to Atlanta, there's an open mic. There's something every day in Atlanta. And if you think about it. Two successful artists we got in here in Miami, we got, like, Zoe Dollaz, and he just signed to a Atlanta artist, you know what I'm saying? And then one of our most successful artists, too, right now, City Girls from Miami,
they signed to QC,
and they're taking the blueprint, they're taking the trend of what these Atlanta artists and Atlanta business entrepreneurship is doing. And they, you know, it's an older city. Atlanta, people fail to realize Atlanta's, like, what, 200-300 years old.
Yeah.
Miami's almost, I think they just turned, like, 100 or something years old. So it's like, we're not really that established in the music industry as opposed to these other cities like Motown and Nashville, LA, all these other the major cities. So I guess, you know, just following the trend and what's working.
Yeah, because I feel like, yeah, I understand that, but I feel like it got to get to a point. Like, I be ever, I'm like, bro, it got to get to a point where, all right, we've been here before, because now it's doing real good now, because you remember every, 5 to 10 years, 2 or 3 artists would come out of Miami, but now it's like, not just.
Yeah, I think it was like 10 years. They used to say like 86 was Uncle Luke,
yeah.
Then 96 was Trick Daddy. You know, 2006 was Rick Ross. I don't know who they said for 2016, but I think City Girls, they kind of taking that.
Yeah.
They on the billboards, they killing all the awards and everything. Yeah, it's a lot of other artists, you know. But yeah,
but like you said, you got City Girls, the Joey Dollars, you got the Denzel Currys of the world. Like, it's artists that's popping out of nowhere, you know, and then Brock Connie.
And the reason why they're doing that too is now is we don't necessarily need labels so much, not just in Miami, but just in general.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really need labels because, like, I guess 20, 30 years ago, it was a guy behind the desk who'd be like, oh, this artist's not ready. We're not going to put them out. Or this artist is ready. Let's put money behind them. Now, we're able to cut out the middleman because we have phones, internet, Wi-Fi. We can social media. We can connect with the world. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think that's why the amount of abundance of artists that's popping up nowadays is because we could do it ourselves. But the problem with that, well, I feel like a lot of artists, it's hard to break out, is because everybody has these resources now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder to stand up. We don't need as much money nowadays like how we used to. But now the competition level and the market is so saturated. There's so many people want to do it. They just created an app, United Masters, that you could be your own publisher. You could be your own label. You could distribute your own music for no fee and keep 100% of your royalties.
That's what's up.
That was a job of what publishers and record labels back in the day. And that's why you see all these record labels, they closing down now because of the tools that we have now.
But you think like labels like Atlantic, like they still going because they following the age? Like in terms of like, you know, Def Jam is kind of, you know, getting far behind because they still in the old like 90s, 80s, 90s and 2000s. But Atlantic is actually doing what, you know, like social media and other platforms are doing. Like they look at the YouTubers and stuff like that. And
the influencers and stuff like that.
And they becoming like relevant. They still relevant to this day. You know, so you think that. The question I'm trying to ask you is that you think that other labels that's like Universal and them, you think they should still like be into the now instead of like trying to be
Of course. You know, I think I forgot what the name of the guy. I think Gretzky. Mm-hmm. He's a hockey player. He was talking about like he skates to where the puck is going, not where it's been. So of course you got to be able to adjust and adapt. Even all the big labels, they got to know what's hot. They got to do their research. And like my boy DJ Illusion was saying, I didn't even know. It makes sense though that they have the tools to know if they have real followers and how much engagement they're getting and whether they're faking and stuff like that. So they got to be up to date and know what's popping and know what to invest in right now.
Right.
And yeah.
So let's get to your top 5 list of producers, because it's always been a list and I was asked everybody their top 5 list here and there, but I want to know truthfully, like who's in your top 5 as far as like producers?
I know this might not be the politically correct answer again. Mm-hmm. I might get some old backlash, but you know what I'm saying? As far as the sound that inspired me, I would say, I ain't going to say the best, but I'm saying the most top 5 influential producers that inspired me, I would say number 1, like I said, Manny Fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get Shardy Red. Number 3, let me get Zaytoven. Hold on, let me look at my followers. I know they probably starting to go crazy. I only got 2 more names. Hold on, we got some heavy hitters like Crack Cobain. Hold up. Someone just say, okay, D-Shim number 1. Hold up. Shout out Zion the Trills, man. Let's see. I got 2 more to play with. Woo-wee! Let me throw Timberland in there.
Timberland,
okay. I got 1 more. Hey, y'all help me, man. What's another good top legendary producer? Ooh, I don't even want to answer this question right now. I only got 1 more. Oh, man. Let me see.
Yeah, because it's a lot.
Let me see. Someone say Dre. Let me see. Ghosty Beats. Ghetto style. Dre. Let me see.
You got a lot. You got Pharrell, Dre,
Swizz. D-Rich. Oh, yeah. Mustard. I'm talking about now. Give me some legendary producers, man. Like from back in the day, just Blaze. Nah, I ain't really that much of a fan of Jid. Crack Cobain, say you're a little solid so far, but like I got 1 more. Like I don't know who to get. Like 1 more. Let me see. Yeah. We just gonna say Quincy Jones, yeah, Quincy man. Jones. Quincy Jones, man.
That's the
name. That's just gonna cover all bases with Quincy Jones.
But why those five? Like,
I told you the first three to four I picked is because, like, I just said the 808 sound. I'm in love with the Southern sound. That's why I didn't really even pick, like, Swiss beats and all. I like the Southern sound. I like how 808s hit. I like how the snares and claps are so crispy. Mm-hmm. I like how I make the trunk rattle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The box Chevys or whatever car you in. I just love the 808 sound.
And what about Quincy Jones? I mean, he's the legend.
Yeah, legend. Man, like, we can't get into that, you know what I'm saying? Everybody with Miles Davis, the Michael Jackson. Yeah. I mean, he's just like the greatest producer, really the GOAT. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
5 to 10 years. Actually, how I see myself by the end of the year, I'm going to make this announcement right now. I plan on expanding, so I'm looking for engineers right now. So by the end of the year, I plan on having an engineer working full time. I got Fredo, I got one engineer working with me. I'm looking for more, so I'm planning on having multiple engineers working out of my studio. So I started expanding my studio, Vibe Out Studios.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just got back into production, so I see myself, you know, working with more artists on the production tip. I feel like I work with a lot of people engineering, but I want to get back production, even if it's just sending out tracks or getting in studios, locking in different studios, not limiting myself just to my studio, starting really getting out there. So I see myself, you know, having I have songs on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Engineering wise, but maybe hearing some of my production on the radio, and that's within 5 years, you know what I'm saying? Within a year, hearing my beats on the radio waves.
So would you ever like come out with a couple albums, couple projects?
That's coming too. So I say that's within 2 years, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna produce all the records, you know, to kind of take the DJ Khaled approach and put my own album together and pick some of the artists I want to work with, you know, whether it be in the local community, be in the industry, depending on where I'm at that time. But that's probably like within 2 years. Like you said, I created a clothing line. Slowly but surely, you know what I'm saying? I feel like that should be doing a little better within, you know, 2 to 3 years. It's called Shimwear. Yeah, I want to cop that. Just go to shimwear.com. Follow us on Instagram at Shimwear. Y'all stop sleeping on Shimwear, you know what I'm saying? I know y'all love the studio, but shimwear.com, you know what I'm saying?
That's what's up, man. And before we close it out, you have any, like, artists for me and everybody else to look out for?
I mean, I gave, you know, 50 names on that list, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot more. Like, it's a lot more, like, too many. Like, I just produced a record for Zion and Trills and Pilly May.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of Pilly May? I think
she's I never heard of Pilly May.
A rapper from North Miami. Mm-hmm. And Zion and Trills is a record called Visa. You could be on the lookout for that. But, I mean, just everybody that's repping down south, you know, check it out. I'll probably try to keep putting on more artists. Actually, I'm doing like this talent show kind of thing on my Instagram right now, where anybody that books a session with me, you know, I'm putting them on my story and seeing if they really got what they say they got. Mm-hmm. So like you could put Fire Flames or you could put Trash. So that's what I'm doing. And so if you want to look for some new artists, follow me on Instagram at DSham Beats. And I also post them on Vibe Out Studios page too. Just follow them and we post an artist like every single day. And then you can give your opinion. If you want to connect with them, I'm tagging every single artist that's coming to the studio that's doing the performance for me. So if you want to find out some new artists, definitely follow me on Instagram.
Yeah, bro, because I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to get back into DJing and, like, I'm trying to, it's like every day it's a new artist that come out from here, you know, and I'm trying to, like, listen and get on their wave because my emails is always blowing up too as well, you know, man, but that's what's up, man. Any shout-outs before we close it out?
I got to shout out everybody that's been supporting me, all the followers, can't get too much in the names, but everybody that's locking in. Everybody that supported me from day one, you know what I'm saying? You know who you are, you feel me? Family, friends, everybody.
That's what's up, man. Appreciate you coming on the show, dog. Sure. Like, it's been, hopefully, be a part two, you know, this. And this has been your boy, DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz, Music the Podcast, episode 95 with the homie DSham, and we out.
Let's do it.